They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Gratefully, you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. I was so honored this past month to have been asked to go to Waterloo, Iowa, to take part in the 80th birthday celebration of News Talk 1540 KXEL. And with me is the program host, the newsman, the guy that has put so much of this together and really given us a new life in eastern Iowa. His name is Jeff Stein. Jeff, welcome back. Good to see you.
Well, it's great to see you, and it's great to have you here in this half of the state. Usually, we're able to connect via phone or Zoom, or we see you in Des Moines, but so good to have you here in Waterloo.
Yeah, this was an incredible event. I mean, no, seriously, and I ain't blowing smoke. You had the current senator, you had the current congresswoman here, the secretary of state who graciously gave us an interview. Why? Why did you do an 80th birthday celebration? And you've got the brag table over there with all the proclamations. What's the deal?
Well, we have, and this is true with anything in radio, and to that degree, I will expand that, Michael, to say audio. Because now we're talking podcasts, right? And so the connection between the audio audience, whether it's radio, whether it's streaming, whether it's podcast, it's very different than newspapers. It's very different than television. And so what we like to do is we like to have some interaction with the audience. We don't have the occasion of doing it that often, and certainly not in person. And so we decided we wanted to do what in essence was a listener appreciation event tied to our 80th anniversary. 80 is a bit of an odd number. We did a little something for our 75th 5 years ago, but this station, KXEL, was the first station in America to go on the air with the full 50,000 watts of power and a clear channel signal,
really?
And it did it just months after the start of World War II, American involvement in World War II. So when you consider that on July 14, 1942, a radio station went on the air that literally reached, then as now, coast to coast. It's a unique bit of history. And we have such a loyal audience. And we said, you know, let's throw ourselves a birthday party. And I did not want to do something where we just all gathered around and had food and birthday cake, although that's a pretty valid exercise.
I thought
you were at the table yourself. but we wanted to then do what we do best, which is have conversations. And so you were kind enough to come up and connect with our friend Ken Chester, our mutual friend, to talk about your respective interests in broadcasting careers, because our audience hears you on the radio and they want to see what you look like. They want to be able to ask questions. Sure. They want to be able to interact. Yes, the elected officials, tremendous to have them. But we also then brought farm broadcasters up to tell stories and engage with one another, because again, for the audience, it's a connection with the people that they hear every day. And I was just truly blown away by the number of people who came up and made comments about we enjoy listening to you, etc. And that, again, that's a humble brag, except for the fact that when you're sitting in the room by yourself talking into a tin can, there ain't nobody out there, right? I mean, you and I are in the same room. We're feeding off of each other's interactions. Usually you're just in a room talking. And to be able to connect with the people who may send an email or send a text, that's why we like going out and doing things like the Hawkeye Farm Show at the Unidome. We just set up shop and people come by and we do interviews, but people will come by and engage with us. That's really a way to build the relationship that otherwise, Michael, by definition, is one way. I talk to them. Now, they may talk back, but I don't hear them.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is so remarkable about the spoken word, and because it is not just radio any longer, it's podcast, is all of these ways in which we can connect with the consumer, wherever that consumer happens to be. But with radio, or the spoken word,
yes,
more appropriately, that theater of the mind is real. You don't get it if you're reading a newspaper. You don't get it if you're watching television because you already see something in front of you. So with the spoken word, It is really a much more, in my opinion anyway, a much more personal experience because you are inside somebody's head.
And not only that, it's where people often consume radio. It might be as they're waking up in the morning. We joke about the first voice someone hears
right.
is ours, right? I'll tell a story because it was in front of other people, so I'm not telling tales. But Senator Grassley was leaving an event once, and this is when he had Secret Service protection. And so I'm just standing against the wall, and he sees me and comes over on the way out and says, shakes my hand, leans in and says, I woke up with you this morning. And his Secret Service agents didn't know what I did for a living, and they could not figure that out. But the point is that we have that connection, or you're in your car alone. Again, it's the sort of thing that for those who are alone, the solitude is broken by the spoken word. But I have to tell you, and I know you're going to think I'm making this up. I know the audience is going to think I'm making this up, but a wonderful woman came up and introduced herself and then said, I thought you were taller based upon how you sounded on the radio. And I've heard those stories and now it's happened.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think, and we're talking with Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, News Talk 1540 KXEL. One of the things I was so captivated about was the interaction of the crowd that was here at the event.
Yeah.
When Ken Chester and I took the stage and we were supposed to interview each other and then we opened it up to Q&A from
this is where we lost control of the event. When you and Ken Chester decided, we'll just take Q&A from people and off we go. But I know where you're going. Go ahead and make the point.
But what was really cool about that was, again, this audience interaction that we had with people. And they asked substantive questions.
Oh, yes.
And they really wanted to know. And, of course, the great Ken Chester just blew everybody away. Libby's sitting there like, what am I doing here?
Libby's the traffic cop, and he's just, you know, right. Who else has a question for Ken Chester? But the point is that and it's an engagement because they're and this is not, again, blowing smoke. We have the data to prove it. Folks who listen to spoken word radio in whatever form, they are typically higher educated, higher income, more engaged in contemporary topics. And again, it's just the numbers bear it out. They tend to also be a little more mature because they've started to pay taxes, they've started to pay mortgages, they pay attention to business news, they pay attention to political news. And so to have a back and forth, and another set of presenters opened it up a bit, and they got pushback on some of the things that they said. The audience gave pushback. Well, but that's part of the dialogue, respectful dialogue
Absolutely.
On these topics. And one of the individuals who was with our company at the time, he's since retired, he said, we cannot program a radio station with spoken word. We cannot program a radio station where we expect people to have opinions and listen to opinions and then not share them with you later. So sometimes people would send emails about a program change or whatever. And he just simply said, we can't expect people who have opinions to not share them. And it's a great thing to remember.
Yeah, it is. And you know, being in the moment with all of the people that were here, and by the way, it was a great adventure. I know Ken Chester and I, we came up from Des Moines. And a two-hour ride, I also got educated while I was riding with Mr. Chester. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I mean, who wouldn't, right? And it was what I thought was tremendous was how engaged the people really were. I mean, they were here for more than just cookies and ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, to that point, we said that the picnic, as we phrased it, was 11 to 3. And in my mind, that means we started 11. And we decided we'd start things from the stage a little after that. First person showed up at 10:30.
Yeah.
Carload of four people.
Of course.
Which is tremendous. I mean,
it's too.
Well, you know, you want to make sure, just to make sure. but it was the sort of, and they stayed through the whole thing. Yeah. It's not like they came early and left. And what it shows is that, again, when there is the connection. See, now we're getting to business and loyalty.
Right.
Right. Because if you're willing to go to the widget manufacturer's picnic and you show up early, that shows that you care about that widget manufacturer. You care about the product. You'll come back. And we did this as a thank you, but it, you know, you'd be silly if you didn't think that maybe it might help enhance the relationships even further.
Does. Of course it does. Yeah. And everybody that was here, you know what they're going to do. They're going to go home. They're going to talk to their friends, family, and neighbors and say, you know, I really had a nice time at this 80th birthday party for a radio station that I've been listening to for generations.
And we knew that by having a milkshake machine, Senator Grassley would be here. Not just because it was the Butler County dairy producers, although it was. But there's the ancillary thing, though.
See, the only reason that Senator Grassley came here to have that ice cream is because he was not in Windsor Heights at the Dairy Queen.
Well, and again... But here's the thing to that, and that makes the point. The senator had a very nice conversation on stage, I think, regardless of political views. It was a very good conversation. He talked to people, and on the way out, he grabbed a milkshake, shot a video with the milkshake and the sign, and posted it on social media.
Of course he did.
So now people saw that we had this event. People are also posting about, you know, political things, but that's besides the point. So you stop at the Windsor Heights Dairy Queen. And Councilmember Michael Libby sees that. And again, it's halo reflection to your community.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, all of this is so interrelated, and it's so different than when you and I first started talking into a microphone a number of decades ago, and we'll leave it at that.
Final question for you, Jeff Stein. What do you think the future is going to be like when we take a look at broadcasting in general? Mm-hmm. There are so many places to get news right now, and we seem to oftentimes be in this circular funnel where we're only listening to our news, what I tend to agree with.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I love doing the business news is because I don't do politics,
right.
Which for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, I think, where is this going? We are so disjointed in so many places mm-hmm. on the spectrum. I mean, you can get news that you approve of. Mm-hmm. Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's...
It's branding. It's going to wind up being known brands. For example, Insight on Business, the News Hour, is both a podcast and a radio show. Your brand transcends those media forms, and you have the web page, etc. Okay, so here's KXEL. It's an AM radio station. It's an FM radio station. It's a .com. It streams through the smart speaker. It streams off the website. We have 9 different social media outlets that we post material on. It all comes, and we're going further into the podcast realm with some podcast-only elements. In other words, we're not putting it on the radio. It's only made for podcast. But the point is, if KXEL is a trusted brand, then it doesn't matter what it is, right? And go back to the earliest days of television, now 60 years ago. Radio stations at that time might be AM, FM, and then they added the television component. What was the leg up? Oh, that channel is so-and-so's TV station.
Right.
It's still the brand, and it's the same in business. You've got a good brand, you can transcend and bridge into other markets. And so that's where the future is the fact that if you've got an established brand, you can adapt to whatever new form is there. But I have to tell you, you go try to beat radio for portability. You're not carrying a TV around. Yes, your smartphone allows you to play. I'll tell you, I know time is short, but I got a call one day from an individual who wondered why our signal was cutting out. And so I said, well, are you listening on the radio or are you listening online? Because it's a very different answer. I'm listening to the radio, he swore. Well, as it turned out, he had our app on his smartphone with an earpiece. He was a delivery man, Michael, so what happens is he'd pull up in the parking lot. He's listening to us not on the car radio or the delivery truck radio. He's listening through the app into his earpiece, going in and out of the stores making his delivery. And, of course, the signal interrupted because of buildings and everything. But
sure.
The point of it is, he's using it like you and I used little AM transistor radios in the 1970s.
That's right.
It just looks different now. You can get a call on the device you use as a radio. And as long as you still have that sort of portability, I mean, radio is just going to be there, period.
You know, I said final question, yeah. So I lied again.
I do that in every interview I conduct. So please go ahead. It's a taste of my own medicine.
So, What do you do? Where do you go to regenerate your listeners? Now, what I'm talking about is, of course, we were here for the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Nice party, nice event, packed house, lots of good people. I will suggest to you, and you know this to be factual, mm-hmm. this was an older crowd.
It was a crowd that would qualify for AARP membership.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. So what do you do to attract listeners of a different era and get them to understand that radio and broadcasting and spoken word is available?
I used to answer simply by saying you age into the format of spoken word radio or news talk radio. I always use the phrase spoken word because talk radio sounds combative. You know, these phrases have bad yeah. connotations. You age into it because when you're 18, you're not paying taxes. You don't have kids. You don't have a mortgage. It's not as important to you. Once you evolve a little bit as you progress, you're more concerned about these things. So that's what I always used to say. Kind of like, well, they'll, you know, build it and they will come, to use an Iowa phrase. But what we do is we try to be available where younger people are. Podcasts, adding an FM signal to our AM signal, lots of social media and websites that may not appeal to me. We redid the website about a year ago, and they kept talking about, well, we have to worry about how it looks on a mobile device. And I said, I don't think my audience is using our website on mobile devices. If you can show me different... And there were the numbers. And we had tipped.
Yes.
We had tipped to where a majority used it on their phone. I said, I stand corrected. Perfect. Go for it. So I think the idea is you adapt the newer technology gladly so that you can get them in when they're ready, and then they can consume whatever components of your brand that they want.
Does that also include doing things in the public in places you may not have been doing them before? For example, I mean, I get it. You know, the National Cattle Congress is in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that you have traditionally covered, farm mm-hmm. events, those types of things. But might this also be something where you would take part in, for example, mm-hmm. Nuboco's event that's called Entrefest,
sure.
where you have 500 people that are under the age of 40 for the most part that may not connect.
No, you're right. The Gazette newspaper based in Cedar Rapids sure. has the Iowa Ideas Forum.
Yes.
And they have evolved. Thanks to COVID, it became virtual, and now they're doing hybrids and other things, and we've been a part of that for a number of years, where it's designed to engage people across the political spectrum and across the age cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also breaking out of the mold a little bit because, for example, one of the things we do at the National Cattle Congress every year is we host a celebrity cow milking contest, where we bring in good, solid individuals who've never seen a cow, typically, and we see if they can milk the cow. Now, I understand this is done by machines these days, but it's a way to show that you take the job seriously, but not yourself seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it a matter of, yes, again, connecting with things that would not have traditionally followed? Sure, but of course those things hadn't been invented yet. And so when radio for this station started 80 years ago, it was brand new to go to the Cattle Congress.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a matter of doing what's brand new today.
Got it. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, he is the program host. He does so many things. And, you know, and again, just because we've known each other and worked together for years and years and years, we're the two guys that send text messages and emails at all hours of the night. Or morning, or yeah.
Yeah, I don't admit that, but you go ahead. That's, I believe the disease is workaholicism, I apologize. Yeah, we're all here.
Yeah, we need to go take another course. Jeff, thanks so very much for hanging out with us, and thank you again for inviting me and for Ken Chester to come up here from Des Moines. I will tell you something on the QT, and Mr. Chester, who is sitting just to your left and my right, right now, we're going to conduct our interview on the way back to Des Moines. So, hopefully, Hopefully there's no issue with, I know there's texting and driving is a problem, but I hope that speaking into a microphone and driving
as long as your hand's free. I think the state of Iowa thinks, if I thank you for your support and always providing the program. It's a great privilege to work with you regularly.
Once again, that's the voice of Jeff Stein. He is the program manager and director at News Talk 1450 KXEL. You know, it's always great to have Jeff on because he knows so much about broadcasting and the spoken word. And he's working at a radio station that is so vitally important to so many all across the state of Iowa and the nation, as a matter of fact. And by the way, we did do that traveling interview in a vehicle with Ken Chester from Roadworthy Drive. Honest to God did. And you'll be able to hear that in an upcoming episode. And check out the picture on our blog site because, of course, yes, that is Jeff Stein in the middle, along with me and our friend Ken Chester from Roadworthy Drive. Thanks for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and directed by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.